won't you, baby?
This is where he is tough. Side saddle jumpers, little drive. Top score for the Aztecs, and he gets the roll and bounce. Forced to put it on the deck.
Big moment in the game last night when the Aztecs took the lead over UConn. They took the lead over UConn by 4 points. It was 10-6 with 16 and a half minutes to go in the first half. so 3.5 minutes into 40 minutes of gameplay, the San Diego State had their largest lead of the game. And then it was all over. It was a complete blowout. They're actually not. I take it back. Okay, there was a moment with about 7.5 minutes to go where San Diego State went on a 9-0 run. 9-0 run in order to get within 6. So they were down by 15, and they went on a 9-0 run in the middle of the second half in order to get within 6.
That's what you like, too. Who wants the shot? Nice denial. Takes it away. Coming in and laying it in for two more. And we got a ball game with 7.5 to go.
So you had a steal and a layup, and it was 56-50 UConn at that point. And then that was all there was to it. We got down to about 5 minutes left, and then it was over. It was all over.
That's what you like, too. Who wants the shot? Nice denial. Jamel takes it away. Coming in and laying it in for two more. And we got a ball game with 7.
Oh, sorry. That's the same clue I just played. The other one is less interesting.
How about that? Is that appropriate?
Oh, don't you know just someday he'll be.
Coach's son coach dribbling out the clock.
Well, this is becoming a family dynasty, if you will.
And Dutch, what a year he's had, too. Curly and the Huskies have their dreams come true.
There you go. And that's it. Their fifth national championship. UConn wins 76-59. And I believe somebody said this is probably going to be the outcome. That 6 games in a row, they've won by double digits.
Oh, wow.
So they won every single game in the tournament by double digits. So there you go.
Well, you've always been on UConn for basketball. No, always.
Historically, it is a pretty good bet compared to other bets. So there you go. Meanwhile, from First Lady Jill Biden, we found out about what they're going to do to celebrate the women's national championship. Have you seen any of the news about the women's national championship between Iowa and LSU where the white girl in Iowa was throwing shade on the, LSU team. And then the LSU girl was like doing the same signal back to her, like, ha, 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 look at me, look at my ring. You know, like,
oh,
who cares? This is the biggest who cares. What is interesting, though, is Joe Biden talked about it.
So last night, I attended the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship. And how many of you saw it? It was like so exciting, wasn't it? It was such a great game. And you know, I'm old enough that I remember when we got Title IX and we fought so hard, right? We fought so hard. And look at where women's sports has come today. So we got to keep working. We got to keep working.
She is right. It has grown in both drama and popularity, but there is something a bit telling about the...
How many of you saw it?
Not a good moment. That's not what's interesting about these comments, though. This is.
So congratulations to both teams. So I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So, you know, we'll have LSU come. But you know what? I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come, too, because they played such a good game. So, right? So winners and losers, that's sportsmanship. That's good sportsmanship.
The what now? We're going to invite the second place team too, because.
Well, that's okay.
They
but...
tried hard. I mean, why stop there? You know, why not invite all the teams from the tournament? Because.
Or everybody that watched
didn't
it.
Didn't they try hard? And, you know, the teams that didn't make the tournament, but, you know, maybe had a winning record. Maybe, you know, I mean, they tried hard. And then the teams that didn't have a winning record, I mean, most of them probably tried hard too. I mean, I don't know why you'd want
to. Why are you casting shade with the second place team?
Yes,
go to the White
this
House.
Is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. You don't invite
that
the second place team. Otherwise, the meaningfulness of the reward of giving them the president's time at the White House is diminished.
They're not getting a participation trophy. They came in second out of
That's
all
a participation
of the teams.
Trophy.
It is not.
Yeah, no, we like the losers too. We like the second place too.
I think Iowa should come too because they played such a good game. So
they lost by like 15 points. No. No.
You're right. How horrible.
If there had been like four overtimes and it was one ref's weird call that decided it, maybe. Maybe. But we're going to, hey, you know what we're going to do is we're going to have the winner of the Super Bowl, but also the loser of the Super Bowl going to go to the White House. And
yeah,
we're going to have the winner
teams.
Of the World Series, then we're going to have the loser of the World Series go
for
to the Super Bowl.
The two best teams.
You know what? When it comes to NASCAR, we're going to have the top six finishers. I mean, just like, this is nonsense. I cannot. Anyway, so, okay. It's kind of funny because the LSU girl who got into trouble, well, got criticized on social media, I think unfairly for throwing shade at the opponent who'd already thrown shade at them. She's like, this is a joke that she's inviting both. Good sportsmanship is when you say good game, congratulations, well done, see you next time, you shake hands. You don't get an ulcer trophy. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. 5:17 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola. Oh, we got permitless carry. Not yet. You can't carry yet. Don't put the gun in your waistband in Florida without a permit yet. July 1st. That's the most important thing about this is that there were, kind of some places reporting this like, hey, constitutional carry is legal now. It's not yet. You still have to have a permit in the state of Florida to conceal carry a handgun. And by the way, on July 1st, none of the rules change about where you can carry it or even who can carry it, except that now it's if you would be eligible to get a concealed carry permit, you don't have to actually get a concealed carry permit in order to carry that weapon. That's already true in 25 other states. We now have a majority of states that have permitless carry, but it's the end of the universe. You listen to the debates on this. It's, everything is going to become horrible after. There was one note on permitless carry that I did not realize because I don't see everything. I didn't read everything. But there was one part of this that I thought was interesting is having to do with, because a bunch of elements of this bill, it's not just concealed carry. What it also does, because hardening for educational facilities, funding for hardening for educational facilities, one of them is that it allows private schools, not just public schools, to participate in the Guardian program. So they can ask the local sheriff to help them establish a Guardian program, which is a good, obviously a good thing. And certainly we saw with Nashville, the threat and the danger of a private school not having anybody on campus that's armed. There's a bunch of other stuff in the bill. Most of it doesn't really matter a lot for, your purposes, but for now, yes, you still need a license to carry a concealed concealed handgun. And come July 1st, you don't. You will also need to carry an ID on you. That's just one of the interesting little side notes on this is you still have to have an ID. If you don't have an ID, it's a $25 fine. And then if you're actually prohibited from owning it, it's a third degree felony. So, you still can't carry it concealed if you're not allowed to. And if you are allowed to, you do have to carry some kind of ID so they can ask you for it if they find out that you have the weapon. That's it. And you can also briefly display it if, inadvertent display is now specifically protected. And even brandishing, as long as you're doing it not in an angry or threatening manner and in self-defense. So if somebody is being menacing to you under this law, it would allow you to just sort of like lift your shirt tail and be like, hey, bro. Mm-mm. If you're scared, right? The general rules for if you would be allowed to draw the gun and shoot the gun, you're allowed to show the gun. As long as, again, you do it not in an angry or threatening manner and in self-defense situations. 520 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Nothing is ever good.
With SkyRizzy, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation will host their very first Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event Saturday, April 15th from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Five Flag Speedway. We'll have crawfish plates, hamburgers, hot dogs, there will be a car show, and we'll show the movie Cars on our giant screen. So come on out to Five Flag Speedway Saturday, April the 15th and support the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. For more information, go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation Facebook page. See you there.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Quickly as you can, snatch the pebble from my hand.
Members and visitors in the gallery, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Pledge of Allegiance today will be led by Colin Bernard from Tallahassee at the invitation of Representative Tan, Ruby Roberts from Orlando at the invitation of Representative Placencia, and Deborah Salazar from Pace at the invitation of Representative Rudman. Please join us in the pledge.
Yay! I just think it's such a little thing, but I love it. I just think it's fascinating. They're always recognizing people in the in the surrounding area, and that was one for, again, Representative Rudman, letting Deborah Salazar. There's like 10 people they typically, you know, have say the pledge and for opening the House session. So good for them. Always nice to see somebody local getting their moment to shine in Tallahassee. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3. The audience. I have to share this. I thought this was the funniest thing. I actually got to find it because I wasn't going to play this in the segment. I got to go see it. I've got so many clips caught from yesterday. But there was one moment where they were talking about all of the different people that are watching. And, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to find it quickly enough. I'll have to do it while David is doing the news here in a second. But there was just this hilariously ridiculous moment where one of the representatives was talking about the number of people watching the proceedings. I'll see if I can find it here in a second. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, today is the big day in New York. Former President Donald Trump set to become the only former president ever arraigned on criminal charges, reportedly facing several of them, although the indictment is still sealed. He's expected to plead not guilty and be released when he goes in. Speaking of that indictment, the judge overseeing the arraignment today, not allowing video cameras in the courtroom. Judge Juan Merchan made that announcement last night, although he says there is unparalleled public interest. He is going to allow a press pool of photographers in the courtroom to snap still photos. And in non-arraignment news, the University of Connecticut fans are celebrating a win after the NCAA championship game. Although apparently they didn't celebrate the way some of us might celebrate. They were breaking windows, tipping over a van, and even destroying lampposts.
In Connecticut?
In Connecticut. Can you believe it?
Hey, I thought bring back fond memories were supposed to be, of Detroit.
Yeah, I thought they were not supposed to be like that. Okay. I mean, my picture of New England is, you know, they're very calm, placid. They internalize their feelings.
Snapping saltine crackers.
I mean,
exactly, yeah.
So happy after a big win that you just have to break some stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
No, never.
Tip over a van or two. Just, you know, another Tuesday.
Never had it happen.
You know what? Actually.
What do you got?
Hey, Hillbilly, your team lost.
Oh, wow.
I have been that happy.
Don't put him on the mic.
Hey, Brent.
How you doing? Brent Lane, everybody, from Cat Country 98.7, a graduate of the San Diego State University, not at all reputed to be a party school.
Two-time graduate.
Oh, okay.
Bachelor, master's, bought all the gear, and then tried to find some of it that would fit this year. Turns out, don't have a thing. Wore some logoed stuff. Printed one out last night, stuck it on a t-shirt, thought that was kind of cool.
Be honest, though, with 7.5 minutes left when they got to within six, did you lose your mind?
I did. I'm actually in a thread with Kristen Longley and Sally Burgosh right now. We're all Aztecs.
Oh,
and
all right.
So we were in a little support group last night.
Affirming and then crying later?
I don't know. I tapped out about 1.5 minutes to go in the game. I was like, this is not going to work, and I got to go to bed. Good night.
So, yeah, that was about 10:45, 10:30. It was a good decision for
I
you.
Was thinking to myself, in fact, just talking about it on Cat Country, how on earth do you have a game that starts at 8:20?
No, it's late.
If you're on the East Coast,
yeah,
even if you're a UConn fan, you're like, dude, I could do this at a different time.
Brent Lane, everybody.
Love all your shows.
Hey, hey, congratulations on making it.
Hey, first time, baby.
That's right.
Aztec for life.
If you guys were invited to the White House, would you go because you guys played a great game?
That's a joke.
Oh, my God.
Brian Lane, everybody. 526.
Yes, I would. It would be great.
News Radio 92.3. David, were we done with your news?
Yeah, that's all I had.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure where we were on all of that, so. No. And I know Brent was super excited to have his team actually make it into the final. And it was a 5 versus a 4 seed, right? So it wasn't exactly expected. But UConn slayed everybody on their way to the national championship. So, as expected, sadly, because what I will always want is a good game. I want a good game. I don't care who's in it as long as it's a good game. And when I can watch the entire game in about 3 minutes on fast forward, oh, stop, wait a minute, what's happening? They're within six. Nope, not again. It's all over. That's not as entertaining to me. Oh, there was a moment in the conversation the other day about making the school board races partisan, you know, because it's something that we're going to do, take it back. It doesn't, let's see, that's the one where the Constitution has to change, I think, but there's one where it's a constitutional change. Yeah, that's the one where the Constitution has to be changed. So this is them allowing us to vote on it, to let us put R's and D's or NPA or whatever. Well, I guess that wouldn't be a primary anyway. You know, G for the Green Party or R for the Reform Party, whatever you could, or, you know, socialist, whatever. The point is that that's something we'll be able to vote on once this winds up getting through, which I'm sure it will because it's flying through already. But Spencer Roach and Angela Nixon, who, what's the most polite way I can describe this? She doesn't always add a lot of content to the conversation, but she does always talk. Polite way to say it.
Like this gal.
Yeah, polite way to say it. And she was asking the question about, you know, did you talk to a lot of people? This is in reference to the pledge thing earlier with the woman from Santa Rosa County.
Did you speak to a diverse amount of parents regarding this bill? So Democrats, Republicans, NPAs, Green Party, though, like the gamut. Like, I want to know, did you actually talk to parents?
Representative Roach.
Around at my colleagues, and I'm arguing that that's what I'm doing now. I'm speaking to all of you in here, many of you who are parents who represent every aspect of every geographic part of the state and 23 million voters, and to the probably hundreds of millions of people who are watching this on the Florida Channel, both in Florida and internationally around the world. I'm having that conversation with them as well. So yes, I'm speaking to you. You represent Floridians, and I'm trying to earn your support for this bill.
Hundreds of millions of people around the world watching the Florida Channel House debates on the floor in Tallahassee. I think you might want to look at your methodology for figuring out audience share. later on, though, it's kind of funny when he was given long answers to her questions. She didn't like it.
Thank you, Mr. 2 minutes left. You're recognized.
And if he could keep this short and sweet, because I can ask a few more questions. Thanks, Mr. Speaker.
Sweet.
Well, although my answers may not be short and sweet, I can assure you that I am.
And Anna Eskamani, very outspoken Democrat, gets in on this game.
Representative Eskamani, you recognize for the last question.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Can you please define sweet for us in the back rows?
Back rows of Democrats, the party of minorities in the back.
Representative Roach, for the last answer.
That's certainly not contemplated in the bill, but...
I don't know, what I like is watching, you know, there's all the drama, there's all the yelling and screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then you just have these great human moments, too. They're just kind of, you know, you like to see that. What do you have coming up, David?
It's the next roundtable discussion for gun violence. We'll have more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. But President Trump in New York City ready for his arraignment from the Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg on charges that have yet to be unsealed, but deal with the alleged hush money payments to adult actress Film actress Stormy Daniels. Trump has denied the charges. The judge in the case denies a motion to allow cameras in the courtroom. The NYPD prepared for any possible disturbances before, during, or after this legal action?
There has been no specific credible threats to our city at this time.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Trump will return to Florida after the arraignment, plans a speech from Mar-a-Lago this evening, but right now we don't know if there will be a gag order put in place by the judge. Finnish, Swedish, Ukrainian foreign ministers arriving for a meeting where Finland expected to join the NATO alliance as the 31st member of the world's largest military alliance.
Good morning. It's 5:31 News Radio 92.3. Well, the third in a series of roundtable discussions aimed at eliminating gun violence in Escambia County is being held tonight in the Brownsville neighborhood. It'll be at the Brownsville Community Center. During the last discussion, local leaders agreed to test an all-in initiative in that Brownsville neighborhood.
Chosen area in the Brownsville. In Brownsville that is both the city and city limits and Escambia County.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 most Brownsville residents want that neighborhood to be better. The sheriff's office and the county have been providing more resources, including extra deputy patrols, code enforcement, extra social services. They're inviting residents tonight from that neighborhood to attend the meeting and let them know how it's been going. The meeting being held at 5:30 tonight at the Brownsville Community Center. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed the permitless carry gun bill into law. That means Floridians will be able to carry a concealed gun without having to go through the state's permit process, providing they were already eligible to obtain a permit. The new law, though, doesn't take effect until July 1st. Supporters say Floridians have a right to carry a gun and protect themselves. Critics believe that more people carrying guns makes the state less safe. Despite not needing a permit in the state of Florida, there are still reasons to get the concealed carry permit, including reciprocity in states that don't allow permitless carry of weapons. A Pensacola man now charged in a weekend stabbing. 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested yesterday. He's been charged with attempted homicide. The sheriff's office says Henderson stabbed a woman at a home on North W Street after they got into an argument. That woman was able to leave the home. She called for help from a nearby gas station, and deputies say Henderson had fled the scene, but they located him yesterday morning at Biggs Lane and Palafox Street. He's now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. Donald Trump supporters lining Southern Boulevard in West Palm Beach before the former president arrives home tonight to deliver remarks at Mar-a-Lago. John Fisher with Florida Firefighters and Police for Trump calls it a political witch hunt, says the indictment's only going to work in Trump's favor.
One more sham, one more attack on our president, and every time he gets attacked, his numbers go up.
And there's apparently been a steady stream of Trump supporters near Mar-a-Lago since news of the indictment came out. Well, despite differences with the governor, Disney says they still love Florida. That's what CEO Bob Iger said yesterday at their annual shareholders meeting. He said Disney respects and appreciates what the state has done for it, but also said that any action that's taken to slow the company's growth out of retaliation is anti-business and anti-Florida. Iger also says dissolving Disney's governing board was punishing the company for exercising their constitutional rights. It's 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 first warning weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. Warm, humid weather continues as you go into Wednesday, high near 81. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Small chance of rain builds in for your Thursday. 20% chance of showers overall. High near 81 degrees. Low Thursday night near 65. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
74 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola. It is 73 in Gulf Breeze and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News. Traffic on the 5s.
Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Well, life on the farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, yesterday we had a chance to talk to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend farmer in Jay, Florida, who is involved in everything. You know, we asked him, oh, what's going on with this maintenance of equipment business? Like, well, when I was in D.C. with everybody talking about it. You know, like, that's, he's, you think he's just a peanut farmer from Jay. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. He's really connected. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I was thinking about you on Saturday as we're biking around, and I'm seeing all the dirt get tilled up and the fields getting prepared for the planting season, and I saw, I could identify it. It was a spreader. I knew what I was looking at.
You're making progress.
I'm coming along. Hey, I did see something. I'm just kind of curious about this, and maybe it doesn't have an answer. I don't know, but I noticed it on Saturday when we were biking. We're in Shamukla right now, and there were three different fields, and very noticeably, not exactly in the middle of the field, but somewhere in the, like, it's trees all around, and the field is completely clear, and there will be a tree or a copse of trees or something, and they don't necessarily look like they're, you know, heritage trees or anything like that, but there's just something right in the middle of the field, and I'm thinking, well, that is right in the way. Why would they have left that in the planting field? Can you explain something like that?
There are all kind of reasons. It could be something of sentimental value to them. It could have been where old home place was in the middle of the field. You know, somebody's house used to be there years ago. Huh. But probably, you know, without seeing exactly what you were seeing, more times than not, those are like wet weather ponds, areas like that where you can't get in there and farm anyway or can't get in there to clear it out because it's wet a lot of the time. So that's more than likely that's what you were seeing.
Okay, I think it was smaller than that. I'm imagining those would be a little bit larger, like a wetlands kind of area. So I don't know, it just caught me by surprise, and I didn't have an answer, and I thought, you know, well, if anybody would know, you would be the guy to know. last Wednesday in Jay, there was a meeting of the Florida cotton growers. Of course, you're in that category. Anything happened at that meeting that we ought to know about?
Yeah, that's State Growers Association that we're trying to get started. You know, we have them for peanuts and for other commodities, but and all of our neighboring states have a Cotton Growers Association, but Florida does not. And believe it or not, we do grow a significant amount of cotton in the northern part of the state. So
I do believe it.
Farmers are trying to get that started, basically, so it gives us representation more so on the national level when we're dealing with different issues. So it gets us a seat at the table on some of the national grower organizations.
Okay, so this is something that you and some of the other cotton growers are kind of trying to develop in order to have a little bit more lobbying capability in Washington, D.C. Okay, that makes sense to
Correct.
Me.
Correct, yes. You said that so well.
Hey, just because this is how my brain works, since we're talking about cotton, I know when I came out to watch you harvest cotton and driving the harvester with you for a minute, one of the things that was surprising to me is the cotton stalks. Like, after you have taken the cotton off and you get about 90% of it off with the picker, the stalks that are left are very robust. I mean, they're like tree saplings. You couldn't just go easily remove them yourself. And you go through there with machinery and plow them under and churn them up and whatever. But what did they do before they had the machinery? Because that is a really labor-intensive thing. Did they just do that by hand?
A lot of times they would, years ago they'd turn cows in on them, and cows would graze and stomp them, trample them down throughout the winter.
Oh, okay.
But more times than not, they would let the cold make them brittle. You know, let them rot as much as they could during the winter, and in the spring the stalks would be real brittle, and they could easier work them up. Then they could till the land and start destroying those stalks. But, you know, we've talked about the boll weevil before, and, that almost shut down the cotton industry in our area in the South years ago. So they've done away with the boll weevil now, but one of the things that we have to do is destroy those stalks in a timely manner, because if there were boll weevils around, it gives them a place to harbor over winter. So we're mandated that we have to destroy our stalks as soon as possible, so that the boll weevil, if there were to be a rare one around somewhere, couldn't produce and stay living throughout the winter months.
Okay, so in the past, when we didn't have the machinery, they could afford to let it kind of get brittle and die off in the winter, and then take care of it when, you know, it was more appropriate. But because that's where the boll weevil lives, which threaten the crops, now you have to take them out before, but you have the machinery to do that as well. See, this is why I love talking to you, because I learned stuff that I would have never thought of before. By the way, you and I have talked about we had that heat wave, kind of late heat, and then I was asking whether that would affect things, but then we also had the cold snap too, right?
That's right. Remember I told you the early hot snap that we had, hot spell that we were having, that couple of weeks of almost 90 degree weather that we had. I said it's going to trick people into planting their gardens and things like that, thinking that the winter is over. And then almost immediately after we had that conversation, you know, it got it was 28 degrees here at the barn for a couple of nights. So that ruined some people's gardens that got out there and were Johnny on the spot, decided to plant their garden a little bit early. That ruined those, and as well as we had some corn that got damaged to a certain degree that was already up. So you never know, but I think we're getting safer and safer now. You know, it's about to where we can really get going here in the next couple of weeks and not really worry about the cold weather anymore.
Now, southern half of the counties, which is, of course, a lot of the population, I hadn't seen a lot of bad storms in the last week or two, but there have been some pretty bad storms through Alabama and stretched some of it into, you know, the northern portion of the panhandle. Did any of that affect you guys?
No, we've been very fortunate so far. I looked on the radar right before we went on air this morning, and there's a lot of bad weather just north of us now, but I believe it's going to stay to the north of us. So maybe we'll dodge another bullet, but I do feel for our friends, you know, throughout the South where the tornadoes have been and such, that had their operations damaged or just totally done away with in some places that I've seen. So, that's really there's never a good time to get hit by a tornado, but you know, right here at planting time, and for all your machinery and stuff to get destroyed in your barns and things like that, you know, those guys are in a bad way. So I really feel for them, and we've been fortunate to dodge those bullets so far.
Brian, you and I we talked, I think it was maybe last time, about how the early heat, one of the problems that would create is that because we didn't have a very harsh winter, at least not most later on, is pests, that they would have more ability to multiply and that could create a problem for you. Did the cold snap kind of counteract that some, or did it come too late, too little?
No, that wasn't cold enough and long enough. We need more cold weather and colder weather.
Okay.
To help with those issues. And no, that really wasn't anything that was helpful.
What are you doing these days? And it's April, just barely. You getting out and you starting to prepare the soil? What's going on right now?
We are. We're almost finished planting our corn. That's the first crop that we plant every year in about probably, you know, around the 15th or 20th of this month. We'll start really watching the weather and looking at the soil temperatures and stuff and making sure we're good to go. And if everything's, if we check those boxes, then we should start planting our peanuts here in just, another 2 or 3 weeks. And then immediately, not necessarily following that, but basically after we get good and started with peanuts, we'll go ahead and start planting our cotton. So I hope by the time you talk to me next month that we have a significant amount of our peanuts and cotton planted and that our corn's up and growing and everything's off to the races. So now we're just getting everything prepared for that. We finished spreading our lime that we've talked about the last couple of times. We're done with that project. Now we're spreading our phosphorus and potassium on the fields, as it's called for, and terminating our cover crops, and we'll begin strip tilling this week. Just tilling the actual row, the space that we actually need tilled for the plants to grow. We'll begin that process this week, and you know, we're getting to our busy time now. It's fixing to become early, stay late from now till about the middle of June or so, probably.
And yeah, no, and it's kind of interesting. I know in the past you have always told me that, like, you love that smell of the dirt. And when I've seen you pull up peanuts, you love that smell of hearing. And it's funny because when we were biking over the weekend, and I'm biking, I sent you a picture of it. They were starting to, you know, some of the dirt had been tilled up in some of the fields, and I'm like, smells like money, even though it doesn't to me. But I'm starting to feel about the land the way you feel about it because I see it through your eyes a little bit. You always got a kind of a farm fact for us or something, Ryan?
We do. So last month was National Peanut Month, where we bring awareness to the peanut industry. So I've got one little fact here. The United States of America has about 7,000 peanut farmers, and we grow about 3% of the peanuts in the world, but we produce about 10% of the peanuts in the world due to our high yields.
What?
That's right.
I don't understand. Like, you mean of the peanut plants, basically? You're only 3%, but you're 10% of the...
We grow about 3% of the acres. We plant about 3% of the acres.
Got it.
Right. Peanuts, but we produce about 10% of the actual peanuts due to our high yields.
I'm still stuck on the 7,000 only. Like, only 7,000 farmers in the U.S. are the peanut source. Like, that's not many people. Wow, that's a lot.
Right, longer. As opposed to, like, corn growers. I looked it up and now forgot. I didn't write down the statistic, but I want to say it was around 350,000 corn growers in the country. And there's 7,000. I mean, it's a small – the peanut industry is a relatively small and tight industry.
Yeah. Wow. I just never thought it was that, you know, sort of isolated, basically. All right. Well, Ryan Jenkins, he is our farmer in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms. And Ryan, as always, thank you for the time, the information. Thanks for keeping farming alive. Thanks for putting food on my kids' plates and putting clothes on their backs, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. It means a lot to us. I hope y'all have a great week.
Absolutely. And we get all kinds of positive feedback on doing these segments. And people are like, when's Ryan going to be back on? I know. I know. It's very, very useful. I love featuring it. Really, I do. Hey, you're thinking of, we're talking about pests and all that and thinking about lawns and all the things related to it. You know, in the summer, you're going to want a beautiful lawn. the question is, what are you going to do this year that's different from what you did last year? And if what you did, you know, just like preparing, like Ryan talked about, preparing the soil, same thing. You got to prepare that soil in advance and start thinking about that, you know, even a month or two in advance. And that's with NSEC. That's what they do. They come out, they make sure that your lawn is going to be healthy, lush, and keep the weeds to a minimum. 8 annual applications, time program targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. Free lawn analysis and estimate. You know, it doesn't cost anything to have them look at it. Initial soil sample tells you what additions or amendments are needed and create a plan for your success. And what's going to happen is you're going to get fertilizer applications with each standard service visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, insect control, and fungicide. They also offer aeration, sod, and plugging, and even recommend grass types. It's a comprehensive lawn service, okay? And if you sign up today, you get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program. That includes the initial soil sample, lime treatment on an average size yard. So that's with NSEC, E-N-S-E-C. Also, they're hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City. Good pay, good benefits, 401k health insurance. Not just a job, but a career with advancement and opportunities for growth. Apply at workwithnsec, E-N-S-E-C.com.
A-R-G-O-S, Argos, go Argos!
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. UWF will be celebrating Founders Week from April 15th to April 20th, and we invite community members and alumni to join in on the festivities. Join Anna Marie Mixon and President Martha Saunders on the Pensacola Expert Panel to learn how you can join us. Tune in this Thursday at 9 a.m. to learn more. That's this Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I got it. I know all those routines.
You Leo Getz?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's me, Leo Getz. Whatever you need, Leo Getz. You get it?
Name that band, Candy.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap, indeed.
Out of the UK.
Tonight, I'm going to rock you tonight.
Rock the USA.
You can never have enough Spinal Tap in your life.
Man.
That's right. You know,
yeah, I go to 11.
My
pot like
goes
you.
To 11. 5:53. You live at 11.
You live at 11.
Come on. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the most expensive state court race in U.S. history being decided in Wisconsin today. At stake, a spot on their state's Supreme Court. Currently, it's evenly divided between conservative and liberal justices. Two prominent Florida Democrats have been charged with trespassing. Senate Minority Leader Lauren Boek and Democratic Party Chair Nikki Freed arrested yesterday in Tallahassee during an abortion protest. They and about 40 others were protesting after the Senate passed a bill that bans abortions after 6 weeks. And for the first time in years, if you were to go to the New York Botanical Garden, although I'm not sure I'd take a trip to New York today, if you were to take a trip to the New York Botanical Garden, you could see the stinky corpse flower.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all about this.
It's going to be blooming. It's a pink flower featuring a center spike and a stalk that can grow 12 feet tall, but apparently it smells really good.
We have those around here, don't we? Don't we have something around here that's like that, that grows very periodically? But
I'll ask Mike when he comes in. For
okay, no,
talk,
seriously,
yeah,
I'm
not like, sure.
We have something around here that's like that, but yeah, I would not be. I don't need to smell a corpse. If that's the description, that's going to smell like a decomposing body. I'll pass. I don't need that. But
no thanks. Not going to put them in your flower bed.
No, because I have. Again, we go biking all the time. We smell rotted animals all the time. That's not a pleasant smell. If that's what it smells like, no, thank you. I don't need
Is that how you keep the romance in your marriage? Come on, Danny. Let's go smell some possums.
Armadillos.
Oh, armadillos.
And
I'm sorry.
Cats and dogs, sadly, also. But yeah. Was that it, David? Sorry, I kind of interrupted you there with your reminiscing about the smell of the flower.
That's it. Stinky corpse flower. That's where I was ending it.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. So you get, Candy, are you excited at all about this NASA moon?
Yeah, like the Artemis thing? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I think that's cool. They just selected the astronauts, right?
All right, so I'm a nerd, generally speaking.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I play one on TV.
No kidding, doctor?
And, you know, I enjoy astronomical things. I enjoy, we 100%. Always talk about the you know, the eclipse or the alignment of the stars or whatever, or the planets. I find myself completely uninterested in this.
The and Artemis
I'm not saying
mission?
I'm not saying you should be, I'm just saying, you know, we've got these four astronauts. It's a first time ever for a moonshot that you're going to have a black astronaut, a Canadian, and a woman, and then they got the token white guy on the team. no, seriously, that's the way it's kind of being presented. But they're not going to the moon. They're going around the moon.
They're slingshotting in the moon.
Yeah, which I understand that's an important first part of this process, but I'm sort of, and again, I apologize for being this guy, because according to my Facebook feed, it is, everybody else thinks this is the greatest story in the world.
Well, they're training at NAS.
That's,
for
well,
one.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing. This is the first time we're getting back into that area
into
of
that
space.
Part of things, okay.
Yeah. It's a big deal. 50 years it's been.
Call me when they put a person on the moon.
Okay, what about that Apollo movie? Was it 11?
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, did that not have you riveted? I'm never right, but this is one of those times. This is a big deal. It's awesome.
I just, when we're putting a person on the surface, that's when I'm going to get excited.
They're trying to colonize Mars eventually.
I understand.
Yeah,
because I know.
All right.
I just, if this were the first time we were going, I'd be more excited because I would understand that. But again, it's just the, I don't know, something about it just doesn't catch me as, I know I'm in the weird category here. I know I'm in the minority on this one. So everybody else, happy days. Enjoy the story. 437-1620. Oh, you know, McDonald's, you see the story, McDonald's is closing, like all, it's telling its employees, like the corporate employees,
yes.
You know, stay home because we're fixing to fire a bunch of you. And we're going to let you know remotely. Therefore, we don't have to, pay security to eject you from the office? Is that what, come get your belongings later? It's a weird story that they've got all of their, you know, their regular corporate folks. Again, not the, you know, individual stores. You can still go get your, you know, whatever.
Do you think they're going to serve pink slips, but only till 10:30?
That's nice. That's good. Well done.
Oh, I know the McDonald's menu. What I can't get at 10:29.
Okay. Okay, also, can you fact check me on this?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it was 11 o'clock for a long time.
It
and
was.
Then it became 10:30. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not.
All right, so confusing. And then you just get angry because you're 10:45. You're like, I'm good. You're not good, sir. What?
I think it's Sunday. I'll have to check. It seems like there's, but 10:30 is weekdays.
My
I know
answer is I'm just not
going to
go. I'm just not going to go.
You're missing out.
I don't want to deal with that because there's nothing worse than going to a McDonald's. Well, there's probably. But it's bad when you go
this
to McDonald's
great.
Expecting to get the, like,
double cheeseburger you're craving
the
Big Mac.
The McMuffin with the sausage and the cheese and the egg.
Oh, and you're stuck with
lunch.
And
what they tell you is, no, you can get a hamburger. I didn't come here for a hamburger, sir. Came here for the good stuff.
I applaud the whole menu.
437-1620, 437-1620. Judy Blume has weighed in on the Roald Dahl edits. And to make a long story short, she's like, what in the world? Don't try that while I'm alive with my books. She's the most censored author? One of.
Her stuff was
everything I
learned.
Talking about periods and talking about more than just that
and
in
boys,
some of the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some of the books. So, all right, we'll be back in a minute. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to